Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
VJ Husky, last night, I think it's hard to overstate just how good Giannis Antetokounmpo was.
Yeah.
I mean, the boy was bad. On the night when he got really very little help from his teammates. Now, Jrue Holiday D'd up Devin Booker. Chris Middleton hit a couple big jumpers in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Bobby Portis is the only Buck other than Giannis to score at least his season or playoff average or more. Mm-hmm. The only one. So they did all right. But this was just about as much of a one-man show as you could ever have in an NBA game.
Yeah.
You know, because we talk about that. We give Jordan all the credit. We give LeBron all the credit. And, you know, Shaq or Kobe, all that. But really, it's always a team effort. You always need contributions from your teammates. But this here, 51 points, game high, obviously. 14 rebounds, game high. 5 blocked shots, game high. And some type of psycho mumbo jumbo on DeAndre Ayton, who was shook from the opening tip. I mean, this was all Giannis all the time. And I'm going to say it. And I've looked him up. And I'm going, we're going to talk about closeout games. Because he played the best game of his life in the biggest game of his life.
Okay.
And there's nothing harder than a closeout game in the NBA Finals. So what I want to throw out to you, VJ, is that I believe, and I'm going to go from the merger onward. So 1977 onward. Well, you know, Bob Pettit had a 50-19 game back in 1958. Bill Russell, coming back from injury, only played like 20 minutes that game. But still, you know, Bill Russell had some 20-30 games, a 30-40 game, and, you know, some big games in game sevens. But so I'm going to go post-merger. I got to be honest, man. Shaq has some great ones. LeBron's had 3 triple doubles in closeout games. MJ, obviously, the 45 pointer against Utah.
Pick one.
Right. Magic as a rookie, 42-15-7.
Yep.
But VJ, to me, this was the best closeout individual performance in NBA Finals history post-merger. Your thoughts?
I am inclined to agree with everything you said, except for I kind of try to look a little deeper when I looked at some of these stats earlier and was doing research and prepping for the show just to see who got help. Like, some numbers have been put up. Now, you've narrowed it down to closeout games, and that's fine because I thought AI's game one in 01 against the Lakers, his 48, but he took 41 shots. But if you look at what the rest of the team did that night, nobody did nothing until Eric Snow hit the runner from the free throw line on the left side in overtime to seal the game. Nobody did nothing else. So being that you narrowed it down to closeout games.
But hold on. You going to sit here and tell me that AI game was better than what Giannis did last night?
I didn't say it was
better.
I didn't say it was better. But if you want to start the discussion, then like I said, who got the help last night? Portis. I'm watching Portis play like,
that's,
oh my God.
That's the only help he got.
Yeah, I'm watching him hit shots last night. And I started calling him on the song. I was like, that's buckets, bam. Oh, that's buckets, bam. Like, you could tell he was in a zone. So it's up there. I don't know. Like, MJ, the flu game, the closeout game in game 6 in Utah, those are tough to beat because he got nothing from nobody else. People forget that 98 finals.
He got nothing.
Scotty averaged 15 points. He was tied with Kukoc. Him and Kukoc.
In that game, I think he had 8
points. Yeah.
Kukoc had 15,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, but for the finals though. He only averaged 15 points.
Right, right.
Jordan basically really carried that team, even with great players, to a championship. I don't think there's another great player on the Bucks. And that would just be my only knock that you trying to put the Giannis game last night over Jordan. I give it as high as 1B, but that closeout Jordan game, the pose, and it's not even the pose. We learned in The Last Dance, he had been short on like his previous seven jumpers. He held it to kind of put just like the finishing touches on it because he had been short. But we all thought it was this pose to say goodbye and this is it. And Jordan's like, nah, I held it to make sure I hit it. It wasn't, so just all of that, when you write it all down and analyze it, I give Giannis as high as 1B. It's hard for me to overtake a closeout game. Jordan, Utah, against two Hall of Famers like that, against Stockton, against Malone, and Utah gave them all they wanted, man. And Jordan really had to carry that team for six finals games. Late in his career, too, at a later age.
That's what I'm saying. We're talking about this one game. I mean, we could actually debate this performance of the whole series, but here's why I give Giannis the edge. Everything you said about Jordan was true. He scored 53% of his team's points. They won 87 to what was it, 86? 87-86.
Yeah, 87-86.
And he had 45 points.
Yep.
That's crazy. So I'm with you there. Here's why I give Giannis the edge. Giannis had, and yes, he's bigger, but still, Giannis had 14 rebounds. Mike had one. Giannis had two assists, which isn't exactly dropping dimes, but Mike had one.
Mike also had Dennis Rodman, so he didn't have to rebound.
That game, Rodman had eight rebounds.
Yeah, okay, but he still has Rodman. You think Rodman's going to get more than eight, right?
But he didn't.
He got eight. Okay, all right.
I think Chris Middleton going to get more than 17 points, too. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, like, and again, Mike is the GOAT to me. But I'm just saying, when I look across the board, Mike shot 15 for 35. That's 43%. Giannis, of course, was 16 for 25.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, he was much more efficient. And, excuse me, on the biggest stage, he went out there, a very poor free throw shooter, and hit 17 of 19.
Thank you, Chris Paul's post-game five comments.
That may be. You know, something motivated him.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, Giannis just did more overall. And I would even, and I've said this, and I'm going to stick by this. I have long said that Magic Johnson's Game 6 in 1980 was the best individual performance in NBA history. And I'm going to stick by that. And the reason I give it that, even though I'll say Giannis had the best game on the closeout, was because of everything around the game. Magic being a rookie, a 20-year-old rookie. His teammate Kareem, who was injured, was the MVP of the league that year. He's going against Dr. J, one of his idols, an iconic Philadelphia 76ers team. So all of that, can you imagine if a 20-year-old rookie went 42, 15 boards, 7 assists, and I think 4 steals? Playing jumping center in the NBA Finals. I mean, we would be crowning him. It would be ridiculous, the hype around him. So I think with all the stage, with everything that was going on around that game, I give Magic the edge in that. But the reason I say Giannis's performance last night could even top that is just from a basketball sense. Forget the age and, you know, the playing Dr. J and all that, is that Magic, to your point, got help. Jamal Wilkes, who is a Hall of Famer, scored 37 points and had 10 rebounds.
And 10 boards, exactly.
To help Magic.
Exactly,
right?
42 minutes.
Right. Yeah. So Magic was great, but he also had great play elsewhere, whereas Giannis, and to your point, Jordan, did not have that.
Yeah, not only that, if just to even go back to that Magic point, the whole, if could a 20-year-old do it today? No, because Magic is legendary. And I'm glad that this actually has come up, because maybe this now gets us back into judging like top 10 or GOATs or whatever people want to call it properly. Because for some reason, Magic keeps getting knocked down. But we forget he was 12. Oh, man, come on.
I don't think so.
CB, you watch. You're in this industry. I'm in this. And we hear this stuff, man. Are you kidding me? He gets knocked down. I've seen Magic get knocked.
How low is he knocked down? Magic is a consensus best point guard ever. Yeah. And I haven't seen a top five that don't include Magic Johnson.
Oh, no, I've seen plenty of them.
I mean, really?
No, yes. Of course. I've seen plenty of them.
I have yet.
I've seen plenty of them. But my point is that, to answer your first question, no, a 20-year-old could do it. There's not a 20-year-old on the planet that could come in and do that right now, because there's not a 20-year-old on the planet that's Magic Johnson. He's legendary. That's number one. Number two, you already covered it. I was going to touch on it. Wilkes gave him 37-10 in 42 minutes. He also has Kareem on that team. And I know Kareem is injured and Kareem is out. That Laker team is still a very, very, very good basketball team. Back to the point with Giannis, I still have questions about Middleton. This one series or a few shots here and there, these playoffs do not clear for me. I still feel how I feel about him.
That raises Giannis's stock.
I understand. I understand that. But Giannis also got help in different ways that Jordan did not get help in his closeout.
Bobby Portis? Do you give Bobby Portis that much love?
Who, me?
I mean, come on. Yeah.
Bobby Portis? Dog.
Answer your question, yes. 16 points.
Yes, I'm giving Bobby Portis that much love, because you don't expect that from Bobby Portis last night. And even when the team...
Jordan got 15 from Tony Kukoc.
But you expect that from Tony Kukoc. Are you kidding me? You
Tony
expect 15.
Come on, man.
Yes. Oh, my. Are you serious, CB? You don't expect 15
I'm
from
Kukoc. I mean, you go sit here act like Bobby Portis was some type of star.
I'm not acting like anything. I'm just telling you what I think and what it is. Ain't no act like. I'm telling you that, Bobby. You do not get that. The intensity, he injected that team with something other than Giannis last night. It wasn't just his shots. It was his play. It was his attitude. It was his persona. It was his bravado. It was all of that he bought to that game last night. Don't sell that man short like that.
No,
are you kidding
me?
That's
fine, but that does not take anything away from Giannis. He only played 23 minutes.
I didn't say it took it. In 23 minutes and to affect the game that much, to help them win, that elevates Portis even more. It doesn't diminish Giannis. I don't do that.
Five Bucks players had better plus minuses than Portis.
Man, come on. Don't start with the plus minus. That's not math class.
Portis was good. But come on, man. Don't oversell it.
No, I'm not overselling
it. Because Chris Middleton had 17 points, and we say he struggled. Just because you don't expect that from Portis, don't overstate the performance. And he was good.
I'm overstating.
Don't get me wrong, I'm with you.
I'm overstating his performance. Chris, you
yeah, you
basketball,
over, you,
are you kidding
taking
me?
Taking that to take away from Giannis?
No, but I didn't say... Are you listening to me? I didn't say that.
Yeah, I'm listening.
I never try to diminish somebody by propping somebody else up and tearing another guy down. I'm just elevating him, but I'm still keeping Giannis where Giannis. I gave him 1B closeout games all time. I just can't put him over to Jordan game 6 in Utah. I'm not doing it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Giannis, man, you can't help but like the dude.
Yep.
You can't help but pull for the dude. He's so humble. He's so transparent. And we know the, story that he has. I mean, rags to riches doesn't even do it justice. And so it's great to see a guy like that win. And it's also great to see a guy that, in the super team era, stayed in the smaller market that drafted him, gave him a chance. And he wanted to win a championship for them and delivered without a second superstar. I say he's got a second star, kind of. You're not even ready to go there.
Nope.
So that makes it even more impressive. But here's what he said after the game.
Coming back, I was like, this is my city. You know, they trust me. They believe in me. They believe in us. Even when we were like, we were lost, the city still was like on our side. And, you know, obviously I wanted to get the job done. You know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still one. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way I chose to do it. And we did it. We did it, man.
Yeah. Now that, yeah, that put a lot of people on blast.
Woo!
All right, and I'm going to say this. Giannis did it the old-fashioned way. He did it the way Isaiah Thomas did it in Detroit. The way, yes, Julius Erving did it in Philadelphia.
Yes.
The way Michael Jordan, of course, did it in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Dirk Nowitzki did it in Dallas. VJ, your thoughts on what Giannis said?
First of all, can I just point out the fact comedically that he's got the best accent in sports? I like anybody that says trust when they put the R and try to roll and they said thrust. Like, thrust me, my friend. Somebody came up to you and said, thrust me, my friend. You're going to trust that guy just because it sounds cool because the way he just says trust in his accent. But Giannis, man, like, and it wasn't a bravado way. He was just telling you the real in the way a lot of responsible sports journalists feel is that I'm not changing for the times, okay? If you guys want to root for this stuff, fine. I'm allowed to still want to see somebody build something and grow it and stick through the hard times, go through the losses and injuries in a 7-year, eight, Jordan would have taken 7 years, 8 years, took LeBron, Jordan, 8, 9 years, right? And then you finally get that championship. There's a sense to sit there, man, and go, ah, there you go, man. That's how it's done, because nobody gets handed nothing in the blue-collar world. We all got to work that way, man. So when you feel that, it's like, whoo, and the way he threw it out there, and I love the way he stopped to say, I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, but I could go and just do my part and win a championship. I love that because it's true. Like, look at it. LeBron gets knocked for it. KD got killed for it because, you know, it goes to the Warriors 73 win team, right, the previous year. But you're still going to have the people that defend it. Giannis is like that symbol that he's the face that the league needs right now, because we got to get back to that, Chris, in my opinion. We got to get back to, okay, it's going to take you a minute, man, but trust me, it's going to make the league better overall than watching the same two teams in the finals 4 straight years. Because, you know, what, 8 of the top 15 players playing those two teams. I love that he said it, man. And he didn't do it with bravado, like, in your face. He just did it like, no, this is how I did it. And I told you guys this is how I was going to do it. It's something to be said for that.
It's going to be interesting because, I mean, it is a big split. There are those that hate the super teams, and there are those that like them.
Mm-hmm.
When LeBron went to Miami, when KD went to Golden State, I was one of the few in the national media that didn't kill him, that didn't kill them.
You loved it.
All right? but what'd you say?
I said you loved it.
No, I wouldn't say I loved it. I mean, I was just indifferent to it, but I was like, yo. I mean, I understood the pressure that they felt to win the championship.
Mm-hmm.
But I did feel, and I said this at the time, I felt LeBron sold himself short because I think he could have won in Cleveland. He could have led that team without other stars in Cleveland to the championship. Now, maybe he couldn't have. That were, you know, we'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought he could have. But I'll say this, even though, you know, Kevin Durant gets the credit for his rings, and that's the thing, one of the reasons I didn't kill Durant is because I watched the way people responded to LeBron. And they crushed him when he went to Miami. And then when he won, everybody was giving him praise. Everybody.
Yep.
All the people that crushed him,
yep,
were praising him.
Yep.
And I said, you know what? When Durant went, I was like, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to be on here killing Kevin Durant when he goes to Golden State. And I said this on SportsCenter. And then in the next 3 years, when he's got at least 2 championships and at least 1 finals MVP, we're going to be praising him.
Yep.
So I said, I'm not doing that. All right? And because he's the same player. But I'll say this, VJ. And LeBron, a lot of their thinking, LeBron was like, look, he tried to get Bosh to Cleveland. He really couldn't get that guy to Cleveland. And he was looking at it like, well, if they not going to build this super, build me a team that can win it, then I'm going to have to build it myself. And obviously he did that with Wade and Bosh and then later on in Cleveland and L.A. now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, while I don't rip the guys that win it with the super teams, there's no question. There's no question. Well, let me back up and say this. None of the championships are easy. All right? Even for Miami with the Heat, we saw, they lost in the first series
mm-hmm.
with Dallas. All right, the first go round. Then they came back and won, and they only won 2 out of 4. Golden State won 2 out of 3. All right, with Durant. We saw Brooklyn this year, the injuries, they go out in the second round. So it's always tough. And even with a super team, when you bring it together, it's easier. But when you bring it together, you do have to get guys on the same page. Guys have to sacrifice. Guys have to play different roles and things like that. So it's always a challenge. But
true.
I don't know how anyone could deny that the more noble route, the more impressive route to a championship is if you win it where you were drafted with whatever players the team gives you. Like, it's more impressive to win with the hand you're dealt than to go and handpick the stars that you want to play with. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
If I go to the park and I'm just like, yo, who you want? Yo, give me whoever, man. I don't even care.
Yep.
Give me whoever out here, and we win. That's more impressive than if I sit there and watch and see who the 3 best players are, and then I say, I want him, 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 and him. All right? And then we go win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No.
So that's undeniable.
Well, I agree with you on that. And I was out there. My opinion on the super team has been heard on every platform I've been on. I don't like it. I don't ruin a cheer for it. I think it's helped ruin the competitive balance of the league, and I think that's bad for the sport overall. And while all those people loved it, look what we're clamoring for today. Look what we're praising and clamoring for. You can't find any Giannis slander on Twitter, IG, Facebook, Spotify. There's just nobody that's even willing to go there because we all know deep down inside, like I said, most of us, we come from the middle 80%, right? There's the 10% poor, the 10% rich, and then there's the 80% of the rest of us that have to work 9 to 5, have to scratch, claw, grind, hustle every day, take care of your kids, your family, have some fun, go fishing, go do all your extracurricular stuff you want to do, and still try to bring yourself up in life. And that's what we truly in our gut all really appreciate and love, but we get blinded by other things because in the sports, broadcast world, there's people that have praised it and they make different excuses and examples why all of a sudden now Chris Bosh isn't that great. Oh, well, Kevin Love was alive. But no, it's still Kevin Love. It's still Chris Bosh. It's still Durant playing with Steph Curry. Like, people started to knock Steph Curry down, the greatest shooter this game's ever seen, to either elevate Durant, or then there was other ways to say, well, he's playing with Steph Curry, to diminish Durant. So it's worked in that facet where I thought it ruined the competitive balance of the league, so I don't like it. I like this.
But here's the thing.
I like this a lot more.
Did it? I like this feeling. I feel you.
A lot more.
Because in the 90s when Jordan played, it was like everybody had their team. Ewing had the Knicks. Yep. Barkley had the Suns. Malone and Stockton had the Jazz. Olajuwon had the Rockets. Mm. David Robinson had the Spurs. Jordan, of course, had the Bulls.
Shaq
Reggie Miller
Orlando,
had the Pacers.
Yeah.
And it was like, yo, let's see who the big dog really is.
Peyton in Seattle. Yep.
But here's what I got to throw at you, though. You say it ruined the competitive balance of the league, mm-hmm. and maybe people don't like it as much. But here's the history, though, VJ. In the 70s, we had more parity than ever. 8 teams won championships in the 10 years of the 1970s.
Okay.
Think about that. 8 teams.
All right.
And that was the worst decade for NBA basketball ever. In terms of popularity, that's when everything was on tape delay and all that. And then in the 80s, which was the golden era, brought the league back, you have 5 teams total
mm-hmm.
that not won it, that made the finals. Only 5. And then in the 90s, it was the Bulls and it was the Rockets, right? Yep. And then you had the Shaq Kobe three-peat. Like, the fans, it seems like people like the dynasties. And the only difference, and it's a big difference, but it's the really the only difference between the super teams of today and the super teams of the 80s. Because the Celtics were a super team. The Lakers were a super team with Showtime. The only difference is that these teams today are player-generated. They're players looking at each other, yo, let's team up because we would be the bomb. Nobody would be able to beat us. And I get that. That's a difference, you know? Mm-hmm. And but in the 80s, they still had super teams.
See, I don't...
The era they really didn't have super teams was the 90s. And that's why some people say, well, Jordan, who'd he beat? Well, who'd he have? What? He didn't, Scottie Pippen came out of freaking Central Arkansas.
Yeah.
So you won with, it was like, yo, I got my dogs, you got your dogs, you supposed to be the man, I'm supposed to be the man. Let's strap it up, lace them up, and see who's the baddest.
Yeah, right. I don't agree, though, that those were super teams. And I think that, once again, I think that was another narrative that was created out of these super teams because we had to find a way today, right, to knock down the 80s
Magic,
and the 90s.
Magic, Kareem, and Worthy wasn't a super team?
No, I don't. Once again, by the time Magic got there, first of all, Kareem was hurt like that first year in the finals. We already know that story.
One game.
But if you really go through, once Magic kind of took that team over, Kareem, there was a span, I believe, after 86 or 80 something, not sure, maybe 85, 86, Kareem didn't even average 10 rebounds a game. Kareem wasn't that same player he was.
But he was still giving you 23 points.
He still wasn't that player he was in the 60s and the 70s, okay? So by the time that run really started, I know the name.
No. MVP of the league the first year they won it.
I know.
In 1980.
That's 80, but I'm talking 4 or 5 years later. That's a 4 or 5 year difference.
Well, the second half of Showtime, they also won it in 82.
Okay.
And Kareem was still great. Now, he was older. I'll give you that. He was diminishing. And then over the second half of the run, he was a great scorer because he still had the sky hook. But he wasn't rebounding. He gave you 6-7 boards a game.
But once again, I still don't think that that was a what we look at today as a super team. That Laker team might be an anomaly, but if you do go look at the Bulls and some of the other teams, especially like during the 90s, those weren't super teams. That Pistons team, that wasn't a super team. You talk about Giannis taking what he's got. Like, people need to really go back and look at that Bad Boys team that gets so disrespected. And yes, I'm being a Piston home right now, and they say the first step to recovery is admitting it, right? Fine. I'm being a Piston homer right now. But go look at what they really gave Isaiah to start with and how they got guys that nobody really wanted.
Nah, he built it like George.
He built that thing from scratch. So
But you don't think the Celtics was a super team either?
No, I don't.
They had three top 50 players of all time.
I know that, and that's just another number, once again, Chris, that we can throw
but
at it.
But it's an official number. This is official stuff, though. This ain't just some one radio broadcaster saying it.
I get it, but I also think that people say, you know, women and men lie, numbers don't, but I also got to back into that. Numbers don't always tell the entire truth either, so I just can't live just off the number. You're right, okay, three top 50 players, but if they redid that list right now, would those three guys still make that top 50 list?
It's 25 years later.
All right, though.
So now the next list they do will probably, I don't know this for a fact, they'll probably do top 75.
Okay.
Is what they should, and that would be next year. So we'll see. I don't know if they'll do it or not.
That would be cool, though. But yeah, I get you. Yeah.
Some of them would drop off, but some, you know, that's one of Isaiah's claims to fame, is that he beat Magic, Michael, and Larry Bird without another top 50 teammate.
Yeah.
So that's just a number two. So I'm just saying, like, it works both ways.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I brought it up with Eddie House, and he said, VJ, what a lot of players or ex-players are saying. Giannis is great. Giannis is a top 5 player in the league. But they almost are saying, without using the word, that it's blasphemy to call him the best player in the world. Well, I'm about to blaspheme in a basketball sense. And here's what I'm going to say, VJ. I do think we're in a period. There are stretches of the NBA where it's just clear cut who the best player is, win or lose, right?
Yep.
MJ, it was some years when it was like, what, win or lose, he the best player. Now, we know once he started winning, he really never stopped. But I think he was the best player in the world and regarded as such even before he won his first championship. And everybody kind of understood that. LeBron, there's been years where obviously he's only won it four times, the championship. But it's still been understood. But yeah, LeBron's the best player in the world. We're not in that season right now. Like right now, I do think there's some doubt. I do think there's some question. I do think it can be a matter of preference. But in that environment, I'm ready to say Giannis Antetokounmpo right now is the best player in the world. Now, if LeBron takes it from him this year, takes it back next season, fine. If KD comes and takes it next season, fine. But for right now, you got to crown the brother. Because he's won a champ. He's done something that neither LeBron or KD has done. And that is win a championship without a second superstar. And you would even say without a second star. I'll give Middleton star status. But he definitely ain't no superstar.
No.
And they've never done that. Kyrie, Dwayne Wade, Anthony Davis, Steph Curry. Klay Thompson, even, I could call him a superstar. So there's that. And this is a change for me, VJ, because entering the finals, I said it right here on this show. Even if Giannis and the Bucks win the championship, he won't be the best player in the world. I said it just a couple weeks ago. And I said it because Giannis often played to his weaknesses. Giannis was kind of a point forward. And when he's out there playing point forward, he would often settle for jumpers or threes or just try to run darn near head first into the wall, right? But what I saw from him in this series was growth, mentally and physically. What I saw was a decision by him to dominate the interior. I didn't see him settling for the jumper. I didn't see him taking bad threes. And when he was on the perimeter, for the most part, I saw him making the right basketball play. How many times did he drive and kick it out for an open three to a Pat Connaughton or somebody else? And so when I combine, I'm saying, look, if Giannis is going to play to his strengths and he's going to be primarily an interior force with occasional jumpers, occasionally handling the ball on the perimeter. And then I throw in, okay, but in transition, he can grab the rebound and go Euro step and dunk on somebody or make the right basketball play or rebounding. He going to dominate and be one of the best two or three rebounders in the league. And defensively, he's arguably the best defensive player in the league and can guard every position. When I throw in all of that, I'm like, you know what? Right now, let's give it to him. Why not? Only let's go down to – I'm going to go quickly. I'm going to get to Kevin Durant, and okay. I'm just going to say this.
Okay.
Because I want to hear your view. The only thing Kevin Durant really does better than Giannis is shoot. He doesn't defend like Giannis, doesn't rebound like Giannis. Passing is close.
Yes.
You might give KD the edge, right? You might.
Yeah.
Handle, I give him even. A better hand. Right. And I'll give him a better handle. But again, it's not like, you know, that much better. And Giannis's handle is not a detriment to him. He handles it fine. And so I'm really looking at shooting. And if it's all about shooting, I'm not picking the dude who's going to win the skills competition at the NBA All-Star Weekend. I'm not picking who's going to win a game of horse.
Yeah.
If it's all about shooting, Larry Bird was always better than Kareem. Dirk Nowitzki was better than Shaq. It's about dominance. And this year, Giannis was more dominant than anybody.
This is actually, it's a great topic, and I try to stay away from best this and best that, because it's all personal narrative nowadays, right? With social media, allows everybody to put their own opinion out. But I'll give you these names. These are who I think are in the conversation for the best players in the NBA today, right now. Of course, Giannis. Of course, Kevin Durant. I still think Kawhi Leonard. I know he's not the marketable guy, and he's not the talkative guy, and he's not the look-at-me guy, but when you put him on the court, both ends of the floor, one of the better players in the game, and Steph. I know people are going to be like, oh, you're hating on LeBron. No, I watched LeBron park himself on the block.
Wow, you don't even put LeBron discussion?
Let me explain, because LeBron over the last 2 to 3 years, the age is coming. The father time is coming. I know the ankle was a cute excuse for his fan base, but you can still see he's still pacing himself. Once you have to start pacing yourself, and once you start parking yourself for 75% of games on the box and kind of play D that way, come on now, let's just use our eyes, people. Let's not use our hearts. You can start to see that Father Time catches everybody, okay, it's tapping him. It's tapping him on the back of his jersey. But because he has such a big fan base and a big following, it's going to be hard to let him go. Just like it was hard for me to let Kobe go. Just like it was hard for people to let Magic, Bird, and Mike go. I'm fine with that, and that's fine if you're that fan. But if we just want to talk basketball and talk sports, let's just put it on the table and don't just show me numbers again. Put the film on. Watch the film and turn the volume off. Don't listen to the commentators. So Giannis, KD, Kawhi, and Steph. And AD, to me, would still be honorable mention, but he has the health issue, so I don't put him there. But if you put AD on the floor and he's healthy, he could be the best player on both ends on the court against, you know, 29 other teams in the league. And that's a fact, and he's shown that. I'm not mad at you calling Giannis the best player in the league today, because like Eddie House, a.k.a. Waves, told us a minute ago, we are victims of the moment. It's not always a bad thing. You could be a guy that could say, hey, I told y'all 4 years ago he was the best player in the league. If it catches on to that, say they go and win in two of the next three. Well, Chris Broussard was saying he was the best player back in after that first one. So y'all late for the people who were more reactionary in sports talk than trying to, you know, reach up there for high fruit and make opinions. So I'm not mad at that. I still don't think it's KD. I think KD healthy. And remember, he's coming off an Achilles, and they had to really pace him this year. But when he was on the court, it was 30-9, 30-8, 30-10. Like, it was just, he is still better than Giannis with the handle. And I disagree with you. It's a big margin. It's not just a little bit. KD has a much better handle than Giannis. He's a much better shooter from everywhere on the floor.
He's a far better shooter.
Yeah, handles. Oh man, yeah. Handle. Yeah. If Giannis, listen, when Giannis backs up, the two things I don't like he does, every time he lines up for a three-pointer, I cringe. I'm like, dude, if you just go in the paint,
Yes,
if you just do that, bro.
But that's kind of what he did to a large degree in the series. That's why I'm saying.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you, and I love to see that part of him. But KD's a much better shooter all around. He's a much better handle. But once again, Giannis kind of has that intangible that he just built it, and he did it himself. So this one championship in dominating fashion with a guy I don't even call a star, that I would agree with you that it's okay for anyone in the world today to call him the best player. You're not going to get an argument out of me, but if you ask my opinion and who I think it is, I'm still going to go with KD, but I'm not going to argue with you calling Giannis
the best player. I thought you said you're not going with KD.
No. I still think KD pound for pound is the best player in basketball, but I'm not gonna debate you if you say it's Giannis. Right, it's just these are one of them topics where, you know, everything don't need to be debated, right? These are just one of them topics where you go, okay, right, I'm not mad at you calling Giannis. But if you ask me my opinion, I'm still rolling with Durantula. That's PG County, baby. That's my home. DMV, what up?
Here's what I'm saying. I don't think AD's in the discussion.
Okay, yeah, honorable mention.
AD was bad this year. Like, I mean, you know, for his level. I mean, he was an all-star legitimately. No, it ain't the LeBron effect. Because the LeBron second dude with LeBron can always get his, right? It's the third dude, right, that don't get his. But AD didn't come to ball. Not as a superstar this year. He was a star. He was not a superstar, even when healthy.
No.
Kawhi, obviously, I mean, we just got to check him off right now because he's going to have this injury, this knee injury, so he's out. Steph, it's too small. And
that's not fair.
I can point out a lot. No, it is fair because it's a game of size. I mean, it really is.
Steph,
I was talking with Isaiah Thomas today. I asked him who the two best point guards ever. He's including him. Mm-hmm. He said Magic and Oscar because of their size. So size does matter in this game still. And then the thing is, we focus on Giannis's weaknesses, and some of it's his fault because he has showcased his weaknesses, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's put them out there for us to see all the time. But Steph got weaknesses. I mean, Steph don't defend, you know, and you can be he can be exploited on that end.
Two-time steals champ.
Yeah, but still, that don't mean Allen Iverson got a lot of steals too. Larry Bird got a lot of steals.
Oh, so now numbers. Hold on, CB. Hold on. I'm telling you, I just fished it out for you. So now numbers don't matter.
Who said numbers matter or don't matter? I never said that. I mean, numbers matter, but numbers aren't the only thing. It's not like you just look at the numbers and say, bam, that's it. I mean, steals, anybody in the NBA will tell you, yeah, it's nice to get steals. But steals don't mean, just because you get some steals don't mean you're a great defender.
Yeah. Isaiah Thomas the other night said he better defense than him is if we get you to miss the shot. Listen, I'm a Zeke. Zeke's my guy. You know that. I'm jealous that you even name dropped that on me. I don't even know a guy named Isaiah I can even say I talked to in the last 10 years. So Zeke's my guy. So I listen to him. I watch everything he does, all his interviews. I love watching NBA TV just to watch. If they got Zeke on, I'm watching it because that's just my dude. And I feel you on that. Steals are cool, but I still think that it does take some sense of defense and some sense of awareness, playing the passing lane, having quick hands.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's an irrelevant stat.
You know, to be a good defender.
Yeah, I'm just saying that getting a lot of steals does not mean you're a good defender.
I think it erases you can't defend, though. I think it don't.
Because really? You can get in the passing lane. Okay. You can get in the passing lane and get two steals a game, and for the rest of the game, you're getting abused. Drew Holiday is one of the absolute best defenders on the perimeter.
Yes.
We know that.
Yes.
We just watched him. He's never averaged two steals a game.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying. So, but LeBron, I think, is still in the discussion. And then Harden, my only issue with Harden, because I'm going to be honest, during this regular season, I was saying Harden might be the best player in the world.
He grew on me, man. He grew on me, man. He did.
He is an elite all-time scorer and an elite all-time playmaker, which is rare. But my issue with Harden is that he hasn't always bad in the big moments. He's had some big games, you know, in key moments. But he's also fizzled and gotten tight in big moments. And I'll be honest, man, I thought game 7 against Milwaukee. I know the hammy was bothering him. But he lost all his superstar swag. I'm not going to be a decoy. I'm not going to set KD up. I'm just going to be like Joe Harris and Nick Claxton and Blake Griffin and all these other cats and give it to you, KD, at the foul half court and go on the side and watch you work.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. I get it that your hammy ain't right. But you can still, you're a smart player, you're a skilled player, you could be out there as a decoy, you could be setting KD up for better shots, but it was 1-on-5. And that made me question Harden. So it's kind of like you said, all these guys got something you can point to. And yes, KD is obviously a better scorer. Well, he's a more skilled scorer.
Skilled scorer, I like that.
His jump shot is fun. Right,
yeah.
Because over the last 4 years, Giannis has averaged more points, and he's done so just as efficiently, if not more so, because he does it inside.
And
it's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, Shaq wasn't the most skilled player, but I can say he was the best in the league at a point.
Well, he's definitely the most dominant. And if we could point something else about Giannis, too, that we haven't had a chance to mention today, and I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. Two things. Last year before the pandemic hit, Milwaukee was steamrolling the league. They were one of them teams that 4-month break hurt them. It helped a team like the Lakers, where LeBron, who normally when they lose, he wore him down. He had to do too much. He's an older guy, older body, more tread on the tires. He had a 4-month break. It helped the Lakers. It helped keep AD healthy. It helped Rondo get healed. And a team like the Bucks showed up to the bubble and they looked like a completely different team. And then also point two, 2 weeks ago, I thought it the minute it happened. We all thought Giannis tore his ACL. The way that knee hyperextended, right. I've never right. seen in basketball in my life. A knee hyperextend, a player grab it like that, scream, and fall to the ground and stay on the ground that long, and it wasn't a torn ACL. I've never seen that. I call it the Will and Jada ACL. Can't nothing tear them apart. They together through it all.
Bad marriage for life.
Yes. Yes. And dapped up laughing when they said it. Like, that's real. Right. That's right. Yeah, I call right. his ACL. That's the Will and Jada ACL, man, because ain't nothing tearing that thing apart. So I just think it puts more props and more shine on Giannis. I will say this, and I'll end it right here because this could go on forever. This is the most open who's the best player in the league era. And that part is fun. That part I like because it helps us. It helps our industry. Exactly. It helps the business.
Go take it.